The appointed time has arrived. We'll call the meeting to order. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on October 21st, 2008. We welcome those of you who have joined us today both in person and listening to the webcast of this meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to propose auditing standards that would update the requirements for assessing and responding to risk during an audit. Before we proceed with the agenda, I will note for the record that board members Gelzer, Gradison, and Niemeyer are present. The first and only order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation that the board propose auditing standards that would update our existing standards on risk assessment. To present the staff's recommendation in this agenda item, I will turn to our Deputy Chief Auditor, Jennifer Rant. Jennifer.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My colleagues from the Office of the Chief Auditor and I are pleased to recommend for public comment 7 proposed auditing standards related to the auditor's assessment of and response to risk. The proposed standards set forth the auditor's responsibilities for certain fundamental aspects of the audit process, such as assessing risk, performing tests of controls, and substantive procedures. Future auditing standards would build on these foundational principles in the proposed standards. The 7 proposed standards include audit risk and an audit of financial statements, audit planning and supervision, identifying and assessing risk, material misstatement, the auditor's response to the risk of material misstatement, evaluating audit results, considering materiality, and planning and performing audit procedures, and finally, audit evidence. The proposed standards would supersede 5 of the board's interim auditing standards, namely AU Section 311, Planning and Supervision, AU Section 312, Audit Risk and Materiality in Conducting an Audit, AU Section 313, Substantive Tests Prior to the Balance Sheet Date, AU Section 319, Consideration of Internal Control and a Financial Statement Audit, and AU Section 326, Evidential Matters. We are also recommending for public comment conforming amendments to the PCOB interim standards resulting from the proposed risk assessment standards. We believe that the board's proposed risk assessment standards, if adopted, would result in improvements to audits of issuers in several ways. First, the proposed standards would update the existing requirements to take into account of the improved risk-based audit methodologies currently in use by some auditors. Second, the proposed standards should enhance integration of the audit of the financial statements with the audit of internal control over financial reporting, resulting in more effective audits. Third, the proposed standards would integrate the auditor's current responsibilities for considering fraud during an audit. And finally, the proposed standards reflect an effort to reduce unnecessary differences with the risk assessment standards of other auditing standard setters. Next, I'd like to turn the floor to Keith Wilson to describe the key aspects of the proposals. Before I do, however, I would like to express my appreciation to Keith Wilson for his significant efforts and leadership on this project. I'd also like to express my appreciation to Hasnat Ahmed and Deanne Jules of the Office of the Chief Auditor, who were important members of the team that helped develop the proposals, and also to Jake Lesser, the Office of General Counsel, for his valuable advice and contributions. During this project, we also received substantial contributions from the board's other divisions, and I'd like to express my gratitude for their assistance. Finally, I would like to acknowledge the efforts of Tom Ray, our chief auditor, who is unable to be here today, but expresses his support for the proposed standards. Keith.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, before I begin, I would like to express my own appreciation to the other staff of the Office of the Chief Auditor for their support for this project, in particular Brian Degano, Dimitro Andrienko, Leslie Guyvers, and Lucia Carumba for lending their talents and expertise to this proposal. Now, turning to the proposal before you today, I would like to discuss each of the proposed standards, make some observations about the conforming amendments, and highlight certain aspects of the proposal for which we are seeking public comment. The proposed standard on audit risk in a financial statement audit defines audit risk and explains the relationship of audit risk to important concepts such as reasonable assurance and sufficient appropriate audit evidence. It also discusses the nature of the risk that comprise audit risk. This proposed standard would not change these fundamental concepts, but gives them more prominence than the existing standards. The proposed standard on audit planning and supervision is a substantial update of the respective interim standard to be more consistent with the other proposed standards. Specifically, the planning portion of the standard focuses primarily on the formation of the audit strategy and the audit plan that guide the audit procedures to be used in an audit. The supervision component of the standard draws largely from the existing standard on supervision, with changes as needed to conform to the other proposed risk assessment standards. Now, the proposed standard on identifying and assessing risks of material misstatement is a significant addition to the auditing standards because it would expand the requirements and direction regarding risk assessment. It describes the auditor's responsibilities for identifying and assessing the risk of material misstatement due to errors or fraud. The proposed standard describes two phases to this risk assessment process: an information gathering phase, which the standard describes as risk assessment procedures, and an analysis phase, in which the auditor identifies and evaluates the risk. In the information gathering stage, the proposed standard would require the auditor to perform risk assessment procedures to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence to identify and appropriately assess the risk of material misstatement. The risk assessment procedures that would be required by the standard cover external factors, such as the company's industry and environment, and internal factors, such as the nature of the company and its operations, business risks that could result in financial reporting risks, methods used to measure a company's performance, and the company's internal control over financial reporting. Under the proposed standard, the amount of attention given to obtaining an understanding of internal control would vary based on the factors set forth in the standard. For example, a more extensive understanding of internal control would be needed for an integrated audit than for an audit of financial statements only, in which the auditor placed little reliance on control. The analysis phase of the process in the standard leads the auditor through a series of steps to evaluate how the risk could affect the financial statements and the potential impact of the risk. This evaluation would include determination of significant accounts and disclosures and irrelevant assertions, which is an important factor in determining the audit procedures to be performed in the audit of internal control over financial reporting and the audit of financial statements. The proposed standard also discusses significant risks, which the standard defines as risks that are important enough to require special audit attention. Existing PCAOB standards already discuss responses to significant risks, and this proposed standard would explain how to identify those risks. The proposed standard on the auditor's responses to the risks of material misstatement would describe the auditor's responsibilities for the general conduct of the audit and the audit procedures performed to address the risks of material misstatement due to errors or fraud. With respect to the audit procedures, the proposed standard explains how the auditor should design and perform the tests of accounts, the substantive tests of accounts, and tests of controls to address the risks, and to calibrate those procedures to the level of risk. That is, the higher the risk, the more audit attention needed to address the risk. In the area of tests of controls, the requirements and direction have been aligned more closely with the corresponding discussion in the internal control audit standards, auditing standard number 5. While the existing interim standards are not inconsistent with AS5, the staff saw opportunities to improve the alignment, which, among other things, should help auditors understand how to align their tests of controls in the financial statement audit with the audit of internal control over financial reporting. The proposed standard on evaluating audit results pulls together the requirements and direction from 5 existing auditing standards, which should lead auditors to consider the totality of the audit evidence they have obtained in forming the opinions expressed in their audit reports. The proposed standard discusses matters such as the evaluation of misstatements on the financial statements, assessing the potential for bias in the financial statements, evaluating conditions that could affect the auditor's consideration of fraud, and determining whether sufficient appropriate audit evidence has been obtained to support the auditor's opinion. The proposed standard on consideration of materiality in planning and performing an audit describes how the auditor should use the concept of materiality in the federal securities laws when making materiality judgments that affect the scope of audit procedures. This proposed standard, like the existing standards, states that to obtain reasonable assurance, the auditor should design and perform audit procedures to detect misstatements that individually or in combination would result in material misstatement of the financial statements. Accordingly, the process described by the proposed standard begins with establishing an appropriate materiality level for the financial statements as a whole and follows with determining how to apply those judgments about materiality to particular accounts and disclosures. For example, the standard would require the auditor to evaluate whether there are particular accounts or disclosures for which a lower level of materiality is warranted when misstatements of lesser amounts could influence the judgment of a reasonable investor. The proposed standard on audit evidence would impose a requirement on the auditor to plan and perform the audit to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to provide a reasonable basis for his or her opinion. The proposed standard then explains the concepts of sufficiency and appropriateness of evidence, discusses audit procedures to obtain evidence, and methods of selecting items for testing. Now turning to the proposed amendments. The proposed amendments are intended to conform existing PCAOB standards to the proposed risk assessment standards. The vast majority of the amendments are housekeeping items, though there are some significant changes resulting from folding in some of the requirements of the existing fraud standard, and there are some substantive changes to the standards for analytical procedures and audit sampling. Finally, I'd like to make a few observations about the release. The front portion of the release summarizes the objectives of the proposal, the general approach taken to developing these proposed standards, and the expected improvements in audits resulting from these proposed standards. At the end of the document are two appendices that will be important to those who wish to understand and comment on the proposed standards. Appendix 9 of this release discusses each proposed standard, focusing on the changes to the existing standards, along with a summary of the significant conforming amendments. Within that appendix are a series of questions that relate to the new requirements and the expected effect on auditor performance. We would strongly encourage commenters to look at those questions and include answers to those questions in their comments. The last appendix, Appendix 10, identifies notable differences between the requirements of the proposed standard and the respective IAASB standards. We did not try to summarize every difference between those standards, but rather focused on those that we believe would be more significant. And with that, we'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Jennifer and Keith. Are there any motions regarding this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Gelder.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board instruct the staff to release the proposed standards on risk assessment and propose conforming amendments to the board standards as recommended for public comment for 120 days.
Is there a second?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
Thank you, Dan and Charlie. The staff recommendation before the board today is to propose 7 auditing standards and several conforming amendments that would collectively update the requirements and the existing interim standards for assessing and responding to risk during an audit. The proposed risk assessment standards before us today have been a high priority for the board. For auditors, audit risk is the risk that the auditor will express an inappropriate opinion when the financial statements are materially misstated. Thus, the standards in this area focus on appropriately identifying and responding to the risk of material misstatements. Some of the interim standards that today's proposal would supersede have been in place since the 1980s. So while the concepts of risk assessment and response are not new, certainly audit practices have evolved. The proposals seek to capture these advancements. We are all aware, today more than ever, that risk factors can change and sometimes rather quickly. It is, therefore, crucial that an auditor establish and maintain a sound and current understanding of the company and the environment in which it operates. At our standing advisory group discussion on risk assessment a few years ago, investor advocates stressed this as an important factor and underscored the need to ensure that the auditor maintained an awareness of risks within the client's industry. The proposed standards that the staff have put before the board are responsive to this concern. They place an emphasis on establishing an understanding of the company, both from an internal perspective, such as the business processes, risks, and controls of the company, and an external one, that is, the risks within the company's environment. Equally important, the standards emphasize that responding to assessed risk in an appropriate manner is key to a high-quality audit. Investor advocates at our strategic advisory group discussion stressed the importance of the risk assessment having an impact on the audit from the beginning to end. I couldn't agree more. The best processes to identify a risk will be meaningless if the audit procedures are not tailored to respond to these risks. The proposed standards reflect this view. Keith Wilson noted that a number of the changes in the standards that the board is considering today are not necessarily novel. As he observed, there were a number of inputs to the development of these proposed standards, including improvements that many firms have made in their audit methodology. In addition, we've had input from the following: advice from the board SAG, the PCAOB's auditing standard number 5, and also observation from the board's oversight activities. In addition, staff carefully considered and utilized, to the extent possible, the provisions of the risk assessment standards of the IAASB. While certain changes were necessary, the proposed standards reflect a good degree of commonality with the substance of the international standards on auditing. An important improvement contained in today's proposals is the move to integrate and emphasize the auditor's responsibilities to consider the risk of fraud during the audit. The purpose of this change is to prompt auditors to make a more thoughtful and thorough assessment of the risk of fraud and to develop appropriate audit responses. We have heard concerns from investors and identified issues through our inspections that some auditors have appeared to view the consideration of fraud as an isolated mechanical process rather than an integral part of the audit. Today's proposals should send an important message that the board views assessing the risk of fraud as a central part of the audit process rather than a separate consideration. Today's proposals are not designed to be a one-size-fits-all approach. Instead, the proposed standards describe a risk assessment process that should result in audit procedures tailored to the audit client's size and complexity. We encourage commenters to focus on this and other areas that staff have highlighted in the proposing release to ensure, among other things, that the proposals provide a sound framework with an appropriate level of flexibility. Because these standards are foundational, we are providing a longer than usual 120-day comment period. It is critical that they benefit from a cross-section of comments. Thus, I encourage investors, issuers, and in particular audit committee members, auditors, academics, and other interested parties to take the time to review and comment on all aspects of this set of standards. I can assure you we will carefully consider each comment in an effort to improve the final standards. Before I conclude, I would like to thank Tom Ray, Keith Wilson, Jennifer Rand, and all of the other members of the Jennifer and Keith I mentioned for their hard work on these 7 proposed standards and conforming amendments. I also want to thank Jake Lesser, the Office of the General Counsel, who collaborated with our standards team. It was no easy effort to bring this suite of standards to the proposing stage today, and I thank each of you for your contribution to this important initiative. I'll now turn to my fellow board members for any discussion. And we'll start with Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, want to compliment and thank the staff that have worked so long and so hard on these very important standards. For the first time, the PCAOB is putting out a new standard for comment that includes an extensive comparison of its proposal with the standards promulgated by another standard setter, in this case, the Risk Assessment Auditing Standards of the International Auditing and Assurance Standards Board, the so-called ISAS. I would hope that the PCAOB would continue to put out such comparative information in connection with future proposals for new PCAOB standards. We're fast entering an auditing environment with 3 differing standards, especially as the PCAOB gradually replaces its interim standards, the pre-2003 Auditing Standards Board standards, and the ASB revises its standards, using the ISIS as the base, that is, ISIS Plus. I don't know whether over the long run having three standards is sustainable, but as long as there are three standards, I believe that each standard setter, including ourselves, has a responsibility to make it as clear as possible how its standards differ from those of the other two standard setters so that practitioners know what is expected of them. Today's board action, in my mind, is a constructive step in that direction. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Charlie. I do support releasing the proposed risk assessment standards for public comment. The proposal incorporates into the financial statement audit important concepts related to the audit risk that we developed in AS5. For auditors who perform internal control audits, these concepts should be familiar and should encourage even closer integration of the audit. The proposed standards also reflect an effort to evaluate and adopt certainly adapt certain procedures developed by the auditing profession under the auspices of the International Federation of Accountants. It has been useful to look at best practices and other ideas that the firms have developed, and I hope and expect that the board will continue to do so in future standard-setting projects. I must say, though, that the instruction to begin with IFAC standards as a template has made the drafting more complicated. I suspect that we would have before us a much simpler document if we had started with a clean slate. Moreover, people who are familiar with the ISIS are not necessarily going to recognize them in the proposal. And yet the exercise of starting with those standards and adapting them for our purposes have consumed considerable resources. I hope the board would consider the cost-benefit balance before doing so again in another standard-setting project. This leads me to a point about form that I hope commenters will consider. Each of the proposed standards contains a statement of an objective adapted generally from such statements in the corresponding ISIS. To my mind, well-crafted objectives could be a good way of describing a required outcome while giving auditors flexibility to design effective and efficient ways to achieve that outcome. For the most part, though, the objectives stated in the ISIS and the proposed standards adapted do not state required outcomes, but rather just summarize the topic of the standards. Without required objectives, the standards are left to require specific procedures. There may indeed be some procedures that we believe should be performed. But as we continue to develop these standards, I'd like to consider whether straying from the IFAC model may allow us to be more flexible in suggesting procedures and also permitting auditors to develop different techniques, so long as they demonstrate that they have successfully achieved the desired outcome. And finally, the great efforts put into adapting the ISIS for our purposes have distracted the initiative from some areas that I think deserve more attention, such as evaluating risk in large audits or multi-location audits. These are particularly thorny challenges in auditing, and I suspect auditors would welcome some new thinking on techniques to address these areas. And I encourage commenters to consider these areas as well. I would like to also thank the staff, Jennifer Keith, Jake, and everyone else who was involved with this. I know it's been a lot of hard work. I appreciate your efforts.